2. That's on page 441 in the Pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 2. And because it's our first time in the chapter, I'll read the whole of the chapter. Hear God's word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. For the man who speaks perverse things from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word, and may God bless that to our hearts and minds. As we come into chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, we're reminded from the beginning of the chapter that everyone loves a good treasure hunt. The idea of treasure hunting is there within the beginning of Proverbs chapter 2. And I think that for, as we've looked at Proverbs, as the book is addressed primarily as the primary audience or the original audience to young men, we can think of the way a young man responds to the idea of a treasure hunt as being something that they would love, something that they would desire to pursue. And I think that makes its way into every culture in some regards, and we all love this idea of the treasure hunt. You can think of great films, National Treasure, a favorite among young people, or Indiana Jones, not sure about the new one that just came out, but at least the originals, and who can forget Goonies as a great story of a treasure hunt. And you could really, list dozens and dozens of films or dozens and dozens of books that revolve around the idea of a treasure hunt. There's so many within that motif. And as we move from chapter 1 into chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs so far has shown us something of the value of wisdom. And we've seen the value of wisdom in contrast to one that pursues a life of pleasure. So those that pursue wisdom go down one path, and those that pursue pleasure or the satisfaction only of self go down this other path. And as we come into this chapter, and as we've seen the value of pursuing wisdom in contrast to those that pursue pleasure, we see that that is the living unto the glory of God, and it's something that is done in centrality or with the centrality of God's word. And here we're encouraged to pursue wisdom as a treasure, that wisdom itself is a treasure that is to be pursued. And that's how this chapter begins. We'll see next time another contrast, pursuing wisdom versus this woman who is wicked and who leads to destruction, another contrast within the chapter. Wisdom is something that each one of us ought to be growing in, and for the young people in the room, especially as we think about Proverbs as being a book primarily written to our youth or originally written to our youth, wisdom is an essential component to being happy in Jesus Christ. And wisdom is an essential component in living unto the glory of God. This is our desire. You can think of the book of James, James 1:5, a New Testament book that is often contrasted with the wisdom of Proverbs. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So the idea is, if you know that you lack wisdom and that you need to grow in this component of the Christian life, that you are to ask God, and God pours out that wisdom, that word liberally, he pours it out upon the people of God and those that approach him. But as we think about that asking of God and God who gives wisdom, in contrast to this Proverbs 2 that says that we are to seek wisdom, how does this work? How does this work in the Christian life? Do we just pray, God, give me wisdom, and God opens our brain or our mind, so to speak, and just pours in the wisdom of God? Like, one minute you did not have wisdom, and the next minute you have wisdom. That's not how it works within the Scriptures. Here the Proverbs teach us that as we ask God for wisdom, we are reminded where to find that wisdom and how to seek that wisdom as one who is in Christ. And we're going to look at that. We're going to begin with wisdom's location. Wisdom's location. If this is a treasure hunt, you want to be able to unravel the map and find the X. X marks the spot. Where are we going to go to search for this wisdom? Where would the map take us? And the author of Proverbs says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." This is a father speaking to the son, an instructor speaking to a student. And as we've seen already, the words and the commandments and the instruction that are given are the word of God and the commandments of God. You see, wisdom comes from God. He is the source. He is the location for where you would go to find wisdom. And wisdom speaks. God gives his word and he gives his commands within the Word of God, doesn't he? And we're able to go and we're able to open this book and we're able to say, here God is speaking. Here is the wisdom of God. And we're told here that wisdom is located within this book because from this book, God speaks. A.W. Tozer once said, when Christian theology declares that God is wise, it means vastly more than it says or can say, for it tries to make a comparatively weak word bear an incomprehensible plenitude of meaning that threatens to tear it apart and crush it under the sheer weight of an idea. When we ponder God's wisdom, it is though we are standing on a beach and gazing at the ocean. Its vastness is unfathomable, and its depths fill us with admiration. Friends, you all know that experience, don't you? Standing and looking out into the Gulf of Mexico, or standing and looking out into the Atlantic Ocean, and just saying, it's as if God's wisdom is before me. How could I ever drink of the depths of this wisdom? Or how could I ever mine the depths of what is here before us? You know, we live in a time when so many are obsessed with the ideas of, again, of exploring that which is in space. And that's fine. I'm not saying that that's a problem. Or getting to Mars. Or exploring the vastness and the richness of what is out there. But friends, as you go, and maybe at some point in this month you will stand on the shores of the Gulf, or you'll stand on the shores of the Atlantic, and as you look out, realize that science has done less to explore the depths of that before you than they've done to explore the depths of space. And God's wisdom is like that. How many of us will ever be able to mine the depths of God's word? The answer is none of us. You go to the oldest saint that you know, someone who's spent his or her life mining the depths of God's word, and say, how far have you come? The saint that is humble, the saint that knows what he or she has done, will say that they have just begun to scratch the surface of the wisdom of God. One pastor said, receiving wisdom from God involves communion with God. And how do we have communion? Since the fall, as sinners are alienated from God, and after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, the place of communion with God, the cherubim back the way, and we have a three-sided problem. As humans, we're in need of a return to God, and our own sin and rebellion wants to make us avoid God and to flee God. And thirdly, God prevents return because sinners cannot stand in the presence of His holiness. You see, we have a problem within ourselves, and we need to understand that wisdom, as wisdom is revealed in the Scriptures and as Proverbs are interpreted through the New Testament, we need Jesus Christ to be able to come and to understand this wisdom and to mine the depths of this wisdom and to say, here are the Proverbs understood through the person and work of Jesus Christ. These are not words just so that you and I can live good lives, or that so that we can have better businesses or better families or be better neighbors. We're called to see wisdom's location being in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, and there we pursue that wisdom. And here we're told, my son, treasure wisdom. We receive it and we treasure it. We sang that from Psalm 119. We read that from 1 Peter. Treasure it means to store it up because it is valuable. One of the Hebrew words that the word treasure could be translated as is to hoard it. To hoard it in a good way. Hoard it. Take God's word and bring it in and pile it up and say, here, I need more of it. I need more of it. You see, God pours wisdom out upon you through the word of God and through the use of the means of grace. And he says, what do you need? It's all there before you. You're free to come and to take and to enjoy and to treasure it. And again, think back on the books of treasure hunting, Treasure Island, or the films that I've mentioned, Goonies, or others that deal with treasure. And you can all picture, most of you can picture, that scene where the protagonist walks in and there's that great room that's discovered filled with treasure. Gold everywhere and golden goblets and pearls hanging and gemstones about. God says, this is what you find in my word. Treasure it, mine it, hoard it up that you may grow and that you may learn and that you may see Jesus Christ. Store it up because it is valuable. And I think something that's important as we talk about wisdom's location is how the chapter begins. It begins with my son. This is already someone who has a father. This isn't to go out and to seek this, that God may love you, that God may accept you. The son is already accepted by the father. If we were to categorize this pursuit of wisdom, over here being the category of justification, and over here being the category of sanctification, or being made right with God, and growing in our relationship with God, God doesn't say to pursue wisdom so that you may be made right with him. He says, because you are made right with him, pursue wisdom, that you may grow and that you may learn from him. We treasure it. And we need to understand that this treasure hunt for wisdom is not something that we do so that we may be right with God. It is something so that you and I may grow in our relationship with God, and it's something that we find within the Word of God. You are to treasure the Word of God, treasure the wisdom of God. And notice it says to treasure that which is within you. You know it. It is there, and you are to grow in it. Secondly, we see wisdom's pursuit. Verses 2 through 4 says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. So we've established that we're to pursue Jesus Christ and we are to pursue the Word of God, for these are wisdom. And God says, here's the location, here's the X. Go and find these things. Go and dig from the riches of these. And you say, I don't know how to do that. I've never gone on a treasure hunt. I'm not sure of the way to do this. And God says, here's how you do it. Here's how you pursue this. And he gives actions. He gives actions that you may grow in wisdom. One pastor said, we want to get closer to him, closer than we have ever gone before, closer than we have dreamed of going. Now God is telling us how. If your heart is lonely for God and longing for a better life, can't you see here that anyone can go deep with God, anyone with a heart for God. You see, the Christian life is not a secret society. There aren't secrets in the Christian life. God says, if you want to grow, if you want depth in the Christian life, if you value the pursuit of Christ and the pursuit of the Word of God, then here it is. I'll lay this out before you. This is how you pursue it. Verse 2. Incline your ear, he says. Listen, he says. Do you hear God speaking in his word? Do you open the word of God and do you read the word of God and you say, Lord, what do you have for me? What is for me here within your word? And you listen, you incline your ear and you listen for God to speak. And again, that's not some out there Pentecostal experience where audibly in the closet you'll hear God audibly speaking to you. But God speaks through his word, and he's given us his word, and he speaks to us that we may look at the word of God and we personalize it. We generalize it so we can say, this is me. This is my need. This is my desire. And we see ourselves in the Word of God. Isaiah says, waken my ear morning by morning to hear as the learned. Or waken my ear morning by morning to hear as the scholar. Let me live under your grace. Incline my ear that my soul may live. Friends, we need to tune our ears to the wisdom of God that we may hear and that we may grow. But also in verse 2, I want you to notice that he says to apply your heart. It's one thing to hear, and it's a very different thing to apply our hearts. We know that both children and employees at times can grumble, and they may do what they've been asked to do, but not with a heart applied unto the task. And here God says to listen to the word, but then to apply our heart, to have a softness of heart that we may walk in the things that God has called us to do. And friends, we're to commit our lives to these things, not merely as an academic exercise, and not merely as something to give us help in the struggles of this life. We apply our heart to the Word of God because within the Word of God and within the person and work of Jesus Christ, we have life. We are able to live. Again, it's not just academic and it's not just practical. It is life. It is a treasure to be applied and heard. In verse 3, we're told that we can pursue wisdom by crying out. Friends, are you asking God for help in understanding his word? As you read the Word of God, are you doing it that you may check a box to say that you've done it? Or out of guilt? Because you think you must. And as you're reading the Word of God, are you able to say, like, if you close the Bible after you've read the Bible, and in 5 minutes you ask yourself, what did I read? What was it about, and how does it apply to my life? Could you answer any of it? Again, it's one thing to read. It's quite a different thing to cry out and ask God to help you to understand His Word. Do you want to grow in wisdom? Again, going back to James, James says to ask of God, for He gives liberally. He will pour that out as you cry out for His Word to be understood. Friends, we must be convinced that the Word of God is the standard of wisdom, the standard of understanding. And we must apply our ears, we must apply our hearts, we must apply our minds to these things that we grow, that we live for this life and the life to come. And we must receive the Word of God with readiness, with an open and willing ear. Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears. And again, the main theme of these few verses: the Word of God must be received as a treasure. This is something of great value, and I want you to value it as a treasure. I want you to see it as something that is so valuable that you would give your life to pursuing it. The other day I was coming home from the study, and I got over near Lake Underhill, and there's lightning and it's raining, and there's this man in the field just with a metal detector. He seemed oblivious to all of it. I thought, man, he's really dedicated to finding what has been left in that field. And actually, I thought there's probably some really great things, because in World War II, it was an army base. Or you can think of those that in the middle of the 19th century left everything because they heard that there was gold to be found in California or silver to be found in Nevada. Or you can think of all of those that came to Florida for the Fountain of Youth, that great treasure that was to be sought and to be found, or that quest going down into Mexico and South America as the conquistador sought for El Dorado, the city of gold, knowing that if they were to find it, it would be of great value to Europe and great value to Spain. Friends, do you see the Word of God as those that sought these things saw their treasures? Something to be found, but something to be pursued, something that you actively dedicate your life to, that you may go and find that which is provided for you. The Word of God is a treasure of wisdom. And that's the language of our text. You see the word treasure and hidden treasure and silver. And over, three times, the author of Proverbs, Solomon, is wanting his son, those that listen, and those that would read after them, including you and me, to see the Word of God as this great treasure to be pursued, something that you and I are able to mine and pull out and say, friends, look what I found. Look what's here, and look what's here, and look what I found within the Word of God. It is silver, and it is gold, and it is hidden treasure, and it is to be pursued as treasure. But we also see, thirdly, this evening, verses 5 through 8, I'll read those. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those that walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So thirdly, we see wisdom's benefits. Wisdom's benefits. What do we receive? What are the benefits of pursuing this? You know, if you lived in the United Kingdom and you were a treasure hunter, do you know what happens if you find treasure? All treasure in the United Kingdom belongs to the crown. So if you were out and you were pursuing and you were searching for treasure and you found some great treasure that was to be received, the government would own that. They would come and they would take it. What's the benefit of even pursuing great treasure if it's not something that can be yours? But in verses 5 through 8, we see these benefits of pursuing this treasure and this benefit of receiving it. And the first is in verse 5 that we receive the fear of the Lord. We begin to understand that fear. And you remember in chapter 1, we were told that this is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of knowledge. So we understand that and we begin to grow in that. We understand what it means to reverence the Lord and to bow in holy submission before Him. And we only understand that when we pursue Him and we receive that wisdom. And secondly, in verse 5, we're told that we find the knowledge of God. We find the knowledge of God. It concerns us to understand how we are to know God. And we ask ourselves what it means that we may grow in our knowledge of God. And friends, we're not going to grow in our knowledge of God unless we pursue Him in His Word. And we're told, we're promised that we will grow in knowing who God is as we study the Word of God. Friends, you are people, men and women, boys and girls, that are in a routine of life where you find yourself constantly under the Word of God, whether you're in worship once or twice on the Lord's Day, and depending on how many times your family or whoever lives in your home is opening the Word of God together as a family, and the times that you're reading it as an individual. And that's watering you and watering you and watering you that you may know God. And I'm sure some of you have had the experience where you're talking with a friend, maybe from an evangelical church or from another type of church where the Word of God is not poured out as much as it's poured out in your life. And they, as you talk about the things of God, they're like, Are you a theologian? Did you go to seminary? Why do you know what you know? And that's the result of the constant watering from the Word of God that we receive from week to week, not only here, but in your homes and in your private lives as well. So we understand the fear of God. We find the knowledge of God. And we see in verses 7 and 8 that God's care is poured out upon those that seek Him. We find that God's care is in our lives as we are providentially preserved unto His glory as we pursue Him in His Word. And then verse 9, we grow in discernment and in decision-making. I'll read what I have again here in the text. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. We know the way of the Lord. We know the way we are called to walk, that which is right in this life. It's as if the path is there before us. Friends, you have friends that know you're a Christian and pursue you and seek to know what you would do in certain situations. Not because they're necessarily going to do the things that you say that they should do, but because you have wisdom from God's word. You know how God would have us to live because it's found within the word of God. We know what is righteous, what is equitable, what is just, what is every good path. Now, that doesn't mean there's not hard things that we have to wrestle through. We do. But the light is there shining on the path of our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ and his glory. Charles Bridges, who writes really one of the best devotional commentaries on the book of Proverbs, he says, "This habit of living in the scriptures is invaluable. To be filled from this divine treasury, to have large portions of the word daily passing through the mind, gives us a firmer grasp and a more suitable application of it. Yet this profit can only be fully reaped at the end of this life. We may read the scriptures, but to search them, we must alone be with God. Here we learn to apply ourselves wholly to the word, and the word wholly to us." We receive the benefits, even in this life, that we would know the way of the Lord. This is righteous. This is good. This is equitable. This is just. This is the path on which God's word shines brightly. So I'll close this evening with four very quick applications, the first of which is to memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. I know we live in the digital age where we are told that we don't need to actually know anything because all information is there in your pocket. Friends, you cannot meditate on God's word if it's there in your pocket. Google is not helping you to meditate on the word of God. You are to memorize it, that you will have access to it, immediate access to it. And connected to that, second application is the meditation on God's word. We memorize it so that we can meditate on it. And we meditate on it so we can apply it to our lives. Memorize the word of God. Read portions of the scripture. Put them into your memory. And then meditate on them. Fill your mind and heart with what God says. And thirdly, be attentive in public worship. Hear the preaching of the word. Even as Elder Worsham said this morning, God's primary way is through, and then he said, no offense to Nathan, I heard it, the foolishness of preaching. We may not think, and the world may not think, that this is that valuable in our lives. But God has said, if you're attentive to my word, I'm going to pour out blessing upon blessing to you. And then fourthly, the application that connects Proverbs 2 to James 1. Pray for wisdom. Pray that you may grow in your application of what God's word says to you. For God's word is a treasure. And God says, here's the location. Go find it. Go find this treasure, and you will receive blessings forevermore. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the value of the book of Proverbs that encourages us to pursue you in your word. Lord, help us to grow in that that Jesus may be glorified in our lives. Amen.